1:22-24, it talks about us being doers of the word. Okay? It's not enough to just say that I study and I connect with the scriptures every day. I pray every day. But are you doing what you're praying for? Are you applying what you've read? You know, I just read this morning in Romans, it talks about that, what was it? It was something about like the love will be the fruit of our salvation. Love will be the fruit of our salvation. Okay? If we are saved and we believe that we're saved, the fruit of that will be how we love one another. It's, you know, Ephesians 2 says it's not, you know, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works so that anyone can boast, but it is a gift of God. So you don't love so that you can earn your salvation. You love because of your salvation. But if you don't know what your salvation is all about, if you don't know what you're saved from, if you don't know what you're growing into being, you know, how are you going to live out the why? You know, so by living out what we're learning, that will be the how of how we're how we're connecting to the scriptures, by being doers of it. You know, Psalms 119, longest chapter. You guys like Psalms 119? I read I saw on this video once that this guy said that his grandmother knew the whole chapter by heart, could recite all Psalms 119. You know, I'm lucky if I know a few scriptures from in that passage, but to know the whole thing by heart, that's pretty awesome. So, but then when I read about, you know, what were they called? You know, like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. To become a Pharisee, you would have to know the five books of Moses by heart. And if you wanted to be even at a higher status, you had to know some of the prophets' books by heart, like Isaiah. Most of the Pharisees even knew all of Isaiah by heart. They didn't need to roll out the scroll. They could just recite the whole thing. What's wrong with us people today? I mean, my goodness, my brain, I don't know if it could hold that much. Maybe it can. I don't know, you know. But the psalmist in 119, I love what he does here. Psalms 119, I don't have it up here. I'm sorry, but it's verse 33 through 37. Psalms 119, and you can study this later on as well. Psalms 119, verses 33 through 37. And this is a perfect example of not only knowing the word of God, but being a doer of the word of God, okay? And this is a Psalms. This is an Old Testament view of God's word, okay? Teach me your decrees, your laws, your ways, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. You get a gift. You get an amazing present. Okay? Oh, I love this present. I'm going to keep it forever. You know? Some people, they'll keep a present, a precious thing. I know these people that they collect dolls, porcelain dolls, really expensive kid dolls, and they keep them in the box. And you look in their closet and they have hundreds of them in there, and they will never take them out because they're just so precious. They want to keep them that way forever, but they don't do anything with them. It's kind of weird to me, but okay, right? So if that was just what he did with God's word, I'd be a little bit worried. Then you got verse 34. Give me understanding and I will obey your instructions. Here we go. Now a little bit more is going on here. I don't really want to understand your word, but I want to do what it says. I want to obey. Okay? Pretty cool here, right? I will put them into practice with all of my heart. Wow. I'm going to put into practice. I'm going to actually do what your instructions say, and I'm going to put them to my heart, which back then was considered the most precious part, the innermost, the deepest of the deepest, your deepest thoughts, your deepest desires that only a certain amount of people knew about. You were going to put God's commandments. He was going to put God's commandments in that area. That's how important God's commandments were to this person, right? Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Oh, That's nice. When we are doing what God tells us to do because we have to. Like Wayne was talking about when he taught the youth, you know, not to have sex before marriage. Because the Bible says so. But why does the Bible say so? Ah, there we go. And when he was able to explain it from his revelation, from what Holy Spirit was saying about the written word of God, they accepted it and they enjoyed it and they lived in it. I want to be happy about following God's commands. I don't want to do it because I have to. Sooner or later, you're not going to want to follow. Because who doesn't want to have a life full of joy? If you find your joy in something that's, you know, earthly, because you're not finding your joy in something that's heavenly, it's bound to happen. So we follow, like the psalmist says right here, because it's where my happiness is found. Verse 36, give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love for money. And this last one, verse 37, turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. The psalmist believed that God's word would give him life. Amen? So why do we connect? So that we can know the Creator. So we can know this Jesus better. And how do we know we're connecting? By being doers of it. Okay? So these are just some tools that I use when I'm getting into the Word of God. Okay? And it helps me not just read it and say, oh, that was a good word, but say, okay, how can I use this in my everyday? You can use these tools if you want in this order. You can use one of these tools at a time, whatever you want. It's just some ideas, and then we're going to try and put them into practice, okay? So the first one, read the chapter, and of course, meditate on it, okay? Here we go. So I would recommend, this is just with a scripture or even a whole chapter, whatever, however style that you study the Bible, you choose. Sometimes I do this with just one scripture. I just want to meditate on one scripture. And sometimes I want to know everything about that scripture, so I'll read the whole chapter. Up to you. But you analyze it objectively. Objectively means that you don't put yourself into it at first. What is the writer, who is the writer writing to? And why? What is the message the writer is trying to give that person or that group of people at that time? Okay? So to help you, that way you can help understand why the person is writing what they're writing. You look at it objectively. You learn this in school. You know, you're reading some philosophy and you want to understand why the writer wrote that philosophy for that time. So you just look at it objectively. What's going on? What's being said? Just the basics, okay? Then you can go into it subjectively. What does this mean for me in my situation? The only way that you can do that, in my opinion, is saying, okay, Holy Spirit, you get with Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me with this word today? Why did you direct me to read this word today? You might think, well, Holy Spirit didn't really have anything to do with this because, you know, I'm on a Bible plan. And I do this Bible plan every year, and it's that time of month where I read, you know, the book of Ephesians. So there's nothing new under the sun. Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. Holy Spirit knew exactly what you're going to be reading 10 years from now and had something set up for you, a golden nugget, right then and right there, you know? And so you ask Holy Spirit, okay, why am I reading this, and what are you trying to tell me through this? And then we can get into identify the key verse or the key word of that scripture or passage. I remember, I think it's in Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing, right? I've read that scripture many times. Pray without ending. And I went on a mission trip with the team back to America, and we were at this mission house where they fed thousands of people, whether they were homeless, single moms, kids before going to school. They were doing amazing work. And the head chef there is this African-American dude, really big guy, super cool, super loving. And he really challenged me with this one scripture and this one word in this scripture. And he said it like this. He says, that scripture in Thessalonians where it says, pray without ceasing. He's like, I have a golden nugget to give you guys about this. He's like, if you're worried about something, don't pray. And if you're praying, don't worry. I was like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, if you're worried, that means you're not praying. Because it says to pray without stopping. So you should always be talking to God. And so when a worry starts to come, you say, no, I'm too busy. I'm talking to God right now. You know? And that's just what's so awesome about pointing out different things from what you're reading. What does this word actually mean in this scripture? Pray without ceasing. Like literally, God? Like I always have to be next to my bed like this, praying? Because if that's your definition of praying, you're going to have some issues in life. You're never going to be able to go to work. You're never going to have any relationships. You're going to have a hard time with life. But if you realize that praying is always talking to God, then of course it makes sense that everywhere you go, whatever you're doing, you need to be in constant communication with God, whether he's talking to you or you're talking to him. Because when the devil comes with his lies, okay, where are lies? Where does the Bible say lies are? Where are the lies? You know, something opposite of truth. Lies. Where are they? They're everywhere. How do I know this? The Bible says that the prince, how does he say it? He says that the devil's native language is lies. And he says that the prince of lies is in the air. Where's the air? Everywhere, because if there was no air, we wouldn't be here. We'd be dead and disintegrated. So lies are actually all around us, waiting for an opportunity to come in if we're listening to them. But if we're too busy talking and listening to God, then when those lies, those worries try to come in to distract us, we say to them, we don't have time because we're praying without ceasing. We're being doers of the word that we're connecting with. And that's how we know we're connecting with the word. So you find, identify the key verse or even the word in that chapter. Then what's your favorite one? What's your favorite part of that chapter? I love how Wayne gave you a little teaser about what he's going to preach about tomorrow for those that are coming to Philadelphia, you know. And it sounded like he got really excited about certain parts of the story that really stuck out to him. One thing that really stuck out to me in something that I was reading was the promise given to Abraham. It was a promise and a promise. Okay? He says that if this generation, if you disobey my commands, there will be a curse on your generation up to the third and even fourth. There will be a curse if you're disobedient. That was a promise. But then the other part of the promise is, but if you obey my commands, there will be a blessing on your generation and up to 1,000 generations. One man, just like you and me, we decide to be obedient to God's promise or calling on our life. Just you. You just say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you told me to do today. Because she decided to obey, then up to 1,000 generations are going to be blessed because of you. Because of me. I'm not worthy. It doesn't matter if you think you're not worthy. If you obey God's command, his promises are faithful because it's just who he is. He's a faithful God. When he says something, he means it. And when he means it, he says it. Isn't that kind of cool? And I got that from that I've read many times before. And that one part, that promise that was given to Abraham in that whole story really stuck out to me. And I started studying that one thing for a while. And I was just getting so much out of it, so much revelation and joy knowing. And it helped me to be a lot more confident in who God has called me to be and not worry about what people think of me or where I'm at in life if I don't think I'm where I should be, you know, in ministry. It doesn't matter what I think, you know. It doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what he says.